In this session, we're going to be talking about spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. We're just going to give a few moments for people to make their way in or way out. And how awesome was that session? Can we give God glory for that and also thank Pastor Harry? That was absolutely incredible. Fantastic. Awesome. Today, in this session, I want to talk to us about spiritual gifts. In the book of 1 Thessalonians, Paul talks about excelling in spiritual growth. I don't know about you, but I love receiving gifts. Anybody here, you love receiving gifts? Raise your hand. All right. I've got two boys, as I mentioned yesterday. I've got a boy who's going to be turning 9 next month, and I've got a 3-year-old who's going on 30. And both of them, they love receiving gifts. In fact, our 3-year-old had his birthday in July, and now his latest thing is he wakes up every morning, pretty much every morning. He'll ask us, "Is it Christmas? Is it Christmas?" It's not the event that he's after. He knows on Christmas Day he will be getting gifts. So they love gifts. So they're constantly asking us, "How many days till my birthday, or how many days till my or till Christmas?" And I love my wife. She goes out of the way to make sure when the boys wake up, especially on their birthday, that she doesn't just buy them one gift. She buys them many gifts, and then she'll stay up, wrap these beautiful gifts. She goes out of the way to wrap them. And I always tell her, look, they're young. They're not going to appreciate your wrapping, but she'll go out of the way, make sure it's beautifully wrapped and it's ready for them in the morning. Boys being boys, they'll wake up in the morning. They don't care about the wrapping paper. They just take them all off. Nobody appreciates my wife's amazing wrapping, and she goes out of the way. She's put a lot of thought and plan into this, and they just want to peel it off. I want you to know that when it comes to our spiritual gifts, our Heavenly Father is the same way. God is a good Father. He's a good Father. He's a good God, and He loves to give good gifts. And there are 3 gifts that I want to encourage you, everybody in this room, to be reminded. And in fact, we've talked about one of them already this morning. There are 3 gifts that I want us to open this morning. And if you're taking notes, I really encourage you to write that down. Here's the first one. Number one, the gift of eternal life. The gift of eternal life. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." There are people here in this room, maybe in the 2 services that we've had this morning, maybe you haven't made that decision to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, Jesus is God's greatest gift given to mankind. So let me tell you, like I said this morning, you're not going to be able to pay for all our sins. Jesus had to come and do it for us. He paid the price for our guilt and our shame. And let me tell you cannot save yourself. The church cannot save you. The pastor can't save you. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So we have the first gift, which is the gift of eternal life. Then we have the second gift. If you're taking notes, I really encourage you to write this down. The gift of the Holy Spirit. The gift of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1 verses 4 to 5. "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." And tonight, Pastor Harry mentioned he's going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Paul is talking here about the Spirit-empowered life. Can I tell you, so many people are living a spiritless life when we are called to live a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. It's not by mind, it's not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. Can I get an amen this morning? So we're called to live a Spirit-filled, Spirit-empowered life. Then the third gift that I want us to focus this morning, which we are talking about today, and often I really believe this is the one that remains unopened by many people. Many Christians don't really pay attention to this one. In fact, we don't talk a lot about this in the church, and that's what I want to talk to us today in this elective. Third one is spiritual gifts. The gift of eternal life, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then third thing, spiritual gifts. According to a research that was done, they discovered that more than 80% of Christians, either they don't know what their spiritual gift is, or they are not operating in their spiritual gifts. 80% of Christians. Church, discovering your spiritual gift, knowing your spiritual gift, and operating in your spiritual gift is mission critical for what God wants to do through you in this world. It is absolutely important. Spiritual gifts are mentioned for the first time in Scripture when the Apostle Paul talks about them in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 11. Romans 1, 11, he says, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Paul says, I long to see you because I want to impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. Now, what does Paul mean by spiritual gift? And I heard someone put it this way, and I thought, this is a great way of defining spiritual gifts. What is a spiritual gift? Listen carefully. A spiritual gift is a special supernatural ability that God gives to each of His children so that together we can advance His purposes in this world. A spiritual gift is a special gift, supernatural ability that God gives to each of His children so that together we can advance His purposes in this world. It is a supernatural ability given to all Christians to do God's work on earth. A spiritual gift is an ability given to all of God's people. Listen to what Paul says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 1 and then verses 4 to 6. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Paul says, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be uninformed. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. God doesn't give us spiritual gifts to make ourselves famous. No, God gives us spiritual gifts to help each other. Paul is saying, when it comes to spiritual gifts, I don't want you to be ignorant. And I don't want you to be uninformed. Here's the reality. Can I tell you this? The truth is, the devil wants to keep your spiritual gifts hidden and unused. He doesn't want you to discover your spiritual gifts. He doesn't want you to know because he knows you are a threat. The moment you discover your spiritual gifts and you start operating in your spiritual gifts. So very quickly, there are three truths that I want to say to lay the foundation. Here's the first one. If you're taking notes, I really encourage you to write this down. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. 1 Corinthians 12, 31. So you should earnestly desire the most helpful gifts. Spiritual gifts are not just given to an elite few. God never intended it to be on just a few people. God has called all of us to minister. Who are the ministers of this church? Guess what? It's not Pastor Alan and Pastor Eleanor. We are all ministers of the church. We are not all called to be pastors, but we are all called to be ministers. Well, what is ministry? Anytime you use your God-given gifts and talents to help people, guess what? You are ministering to that person. So spiritual gifts are given to everyone. See, in the Old Testament, we read about a group of people called the Levites. God identified them as priests. Basically, they were the only ones exclusive enough to go inside to spend time with God. They were the ministry. They conducted all the religious duties. If someone committed a sin, guess what? They would go to the priest. The priest would talk to God on behalf of them and ask for forgiveness on their behalf. The priests were the only people who could go into the holy place where God was, and they would come back out and give the people the message. This was the old system. Then, I love this, then Jesus came and changed everything. I love that about Jesus. Anytime, anywhere He showed up, guess what? He changed things. Things were not the same. So He said things like, you are all equal and you all have direct access to God. And I love this. I spoke to a guy one time, and he wasn't a Christian, and he came and said to me, what do you do for a job? I said, I was a pastor, and he was like, oh, can you do me a favor? Can you talk to the man upstairs for me and put in a good word for me? I said to him, guess what? If you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord, as your Lord and Savior, here's the best part. The man upstairs came downstairs, and he died on the cross for you so that you have direct access to God. Guess what? I'm happy to pray for you, but I don't want you to live with this mindset that I can't come to God. That I need a pastor, that I need a mediator. Guess what? God built a bridge. So in the Old Testament, that was a setup. But interesting, after the death of Jesus, his words were proved to be true. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came upon everyone. Not just the front row, not the ones with a title, not just an elite few. He came on everyone. He didn't just come on the disciples. No, everyone that was present in the room was filled. Everybody. The Holy Spirit just didn't come on the Jews. The Holy Spirit came upon everyone, and they were filled with God's power to minister in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. They realized that God was no longer just working through one or two people or a group of people. They realized that God was pouring out His Spirit on everyone. Can I tell you, it takes everybody to see Tauranga reached for God. It takes everybody to see this nation reached for Christ. Can I tell you, God is not going to give the nation to just one church, one denomination. Guess what? He's going to take all of us to work together. It's going to take all of us together. And I say this to our movement all the time. We're not building a brand. We're building the kingdom of God. Brands will put walls up. But when you carry a kingdom spirit, walls come down. Acts 2, 17 to 18, in the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. All people. Who does all include? Everyone. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will see dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women. I love this. Jesus said, the Word of God says in Acts, it says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Sons and daughters, young and old, servants, men and women. I love this. It just covers everybody. God is not up in heaven and He's like, you know what? Today, I'm just going to give some spiritual gifts to the front row. And Kelly's a nice guy. Yeah, I'll give Kelly some spiritual gifts. The rest of you all just watch these guys do all these cool stuff. Can I tell you, there are no spectators in the kingdom of God. There are no such thing like spare parts in the kingdom of God. Came upon everybody. Spiritual gifts are for everyone. Number two, every spiritual gift is important. Every spiritual gift is important. The Apostle Paul compares different gifts of the members of a church to different parts of the human body. Romans 12, 3 to 6. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by the faith God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. And in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. God has given us all different gifts. There are different gifts and they all have different functions. Every spiritual gift is important. If you have a certain gift, that doesn't mean you are more spiritual than someone else with a different gift. Can I say that one more time? If you have one specific gift, that doesn't mean you are more spiritual, you have more access to God, and you are more holier than someone else with a different gift. Can I tell you, every gift is needed. Sadly, in a lot of Christian churches and circles today, some people elevate certain gifts to say, if you don't have that particular gift, you are treated like a second-class Christian. Listen carefully, there is no such thing as second-class Christians in the kingdom of God. There is no such thing as a second-class Christian. Every gift is important. Listen to this very carefully. The only hierarchy in heaven is that Jesus is King. The only hierarchy in heaven is that Jesus is King. Number three, spiritual gifts are not something to fear. Spiritual gifts is not something to fear. Spiritual gifts are not something to be afraid of. They're not creepy or weird or odd. And can I tell you, if you're a Christian and God's given you spiritual gifts and you're acting weird and freaky, you need to stop. Stop freaking people out. Stop freaking me out. And sometimes you talk to people and they're like, oh, I've got this spiritual gift. And they're like acting in a way. You're like, are you okay, brother? And can I tell you, it's not something to be afraid of. The Holy Spirit is not someone to be afraid of. The Bible says we should desire spiritual gifts. They're not strange gifts. They are gifts given by God for the believer to make a difference in this world. So there are different gifts that I want us to look at very quickly. What are the gifts of the Spirit? Over the next few minutes that we have together, I'm going to give you two key scriptures that I want you to write down very quickly. Let me tell you, this is not something that you can cover in 30 minutes. I'm just going, this is like express train. So very quickly, Romans 12, 6 to 8, it says, in His grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, everybody say prophesy. Prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So I'm just going to break this down very quickly just to give you an idea of what these gifts mean. If you're taking notes, I really encourage you to write fast. The first one, the gift of prophecy. What is the gift of prophecy? This is the ability to speak on behalf of God. It's the ability to speak on behalf of God. God will give you a word regarding someone in order, listen carefully, to strengthen, encourage, comfort. Write those three words. Strengthen, encourage, comfort. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort. We need to be careful that we don't treat prophecies in the church like Christian horoscope. Ah, God told me to marry you. Oh, what a shame. God didn't tell me. You should do this. Or that we got to be careful that we don't treat it like Christian horoscope. 1 Corinthians 14:3. But the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, comforts them. 1 Corinthians 14:3. The one who prophesies strengthens, encourages, comforts. Then you've got the gift of serving. The gift of serving is doing something for someone else, especially when they don't know anything about it. Do you realize that serving is a gift? I mean, Kelly has been exceptional this weekend, looking after me. I mean, Kelly, you can just obviously see it's a gift on his life. And people out there today, this whole weekend, the musicians, the singers, we are all using our gifts and talents to build the kingdom of God. Can I tell you, we don't use the church to build our ministry. We use our ministry to build the church. So gifts are given to build the church, to help each other. Then the gift of teaching. It says, if you're a teacher, teach well. Some of you have the gift of teaching God's word. You could be a life group leader or a small group leader, and you have the ability to explain the Bible. And the Bible says, it says, teach well, take it seriously. Then it says the gift of encouragement. Some people here today, you've got the gift of encouragement. When you see someone doing something, you're like, wow, you are awesome. I mean, you hanging on Eleanor. Man, she's such an encouraging person. You know, if I preach bad, I just want to go and sit next to Eleanor. And she'll be like, wow, that was what. You know, encouragement, it's contagious. The gift of encouragement. Next one, the gift of giving. The Bible says, if your gift is giving, give generously. When they see a need, you don't need to tell that person to give. They're like, I want to take care of that need. Then it says the gift of leadership. It says, if God has given you the gift of leadership, take the responsibility seriously. Can I tell you, the gift of leadership, leadership is not about telling people what to do. Leadership is about making people around you successful. And in the world, it says, you want to be a leader, climb the ladder. Go as high as you can. I love this. Jesus came and He said the exact opposite. You want to be a leader? washed feet, got on his knees, and he said, I came to serve, not to be served. So we need to be careful in the kingdom of God, in the church, that we have a kingdom spirit when it comes to leadership. And can I say this on this point? I tell our team, I tell our pastors and leaders in our movement, we need to stop calling people great. There's no such thing as a great man of God or a great woman of God in the Bible. You won't find any great man or a great woman of God. There is only a great God, and that is sufficient. Let's stop putting pressure on people to be great. God is great. So a leader is not someone that's supposed to be great. No, a leader is servant, and it says, take it seriously. Then it says, the gift of kindness, the gift of mercy, showing kindness. This is a gift that God has given you to minister to other people. Now, you might be like, Boyd, how in the world do I know how in the world do I know what spiritual gift I've been given? As you just heard me read this out, I want you to imagine with me for a moment, you're at a dinner party. And you're sitting with a group of people enjoying some beautiful food. While chatting and eating, you notice that the person sitting right opposite you, they have their plate dangerously close to the edge of the table. As you sit there and you're like, oh my goodness, that plate is really close to the edge of the table. Any minute, this is going to fall and there's going to be food all over them. What you do, what your response is, will help you discover what your spiritual gift is. So listen to this. Let's say the plate drops and there's a mess everywhere. How many of you would say, your first response is to say, I saw that coming. I saw that coming. I knew it. I knew it. I knew this was going to happen. And you'll be like, I knew it. This plate was going to drop. I knew it. I saw this coming. Raise your hand if that is you. You're like, can I tell you? You may, here's the key word here is may. You may have the gift of prophecy. Everyone else was busy eating, talking. You had your eyes on that plate. You were like, don't shake the table. It's going to fall any minute. Remember, it's strength and comfort and courage. On the other hand, how many of you would say when the plate drops, your first instinct is to say, oh my goodness, grab a napkin and you clean the table. You start vacuuming. You start cleaning. But raise your hand if that is you. You may have the gift of serving. Some people are like still sitting there, but nobody had to ask you. You just got up. You started cleaning. You started getting things moving. Okay, now, how many of you would say, you would be like, you know, it's okay. It's okay. Grab another plate. There's more food. How many of you would say that would be your response? You have the gift of encouragement. You're encouraging that person. How many of you would be like, you know what? Take my food. Here's my food. You take some of that. How many of you, raise your hand if that is you. I really want to see. Who would be that? You should take some of my food. Guess what? You've got the gift of giving. How many of you would say, oh my goodness, there's a mess. Kelly, get the vacuum cleaner. You start moving. You move over here. Bring some new plates. Guess what? You might have the gift of leadership. While everybody's busy, you know, oh, it's okay, there's more food. And there, you're like, come on, let's get things right. Let's keep the party going. Come on, everybody. You got the gift of leadership. How many of you would say this would be your response? My heart breaks for you. I am so sorry. I'm really devastated that this happened to you. And guess what? You've got the gift of mercy, the gift of kindness. Some of you have an extreme mercy gift that you would go out of the way to drop your own food on your lap so that this person doesn't feel left out. So they're not the only person in that misery and embarrassment. How many of you would say that you sit at the table and you watch this happening and you put this on Facebook. You are like Instagramming the Facebook Live. Raise your hand. Let me tell you, that is not a spiritual gift. You need help. You need help. You need serious ministry. Let me tell you, God has given us all gifts to build the church, to make a difference. If everybody preached, guess what? There'd be nobody sitting in the congregation. We need somebody. Let me tell you, if you're in the car park, you are the most important person. You can have T.D. Jakes preaching up there, but if you put that person in a bad mood, they can come in here and you can have all good preaching. Let me tell you, everywhere, children's church, wherever God has called you, can I tell you, it takes everybody. Second scripture, very quickly, I want us to look. 1 Corinthians 12, 8-11. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives the message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles. And to another, ability to prophesy. Someone else, the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. But another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. Here are the spiritual gifts that I've just read to you, and I'm very sorry. I'm going as fast as I can go because I've got a flight to catch, but I am trusting the Holy Spirit to interpret and for you to remember. Wisdom, everybody say wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. But here's the thing. God alone decides which gifts each person should have. Three thoughts very quickly. So what's our response? I've just done a quick session on spiritual gifts. Here's the first thing. Write this down. Discover the gifts that God has for you. Discover the gifts. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift that is in you. Go on a discovery, discovery journey with God. God, what is it that you've got for me? Let me tell you, spiritual gifts are not natural gifts. Natural gifts are different from spiritual gifts. So when you're born, God gives you natural gifts. Guess what? When you're born again, God gives you spiritual gifts. So spiritual gifts are different from natural gifts. However, your spiritual gifts can complement your natural gifts. God will use all of them. Number two, develop the gifts that God has given you. Discover, develop. Gifts are like muscles. The more you use them, the bigger they get. You should keep discovering it and keep developing it. 2 Timothy 1:6, fan into flames, a spiritual gift God has given when I laid my hands on you. Last point, number three, use the gift God has given you. Use the gifts God has given you. And I don't want to stop without doing this, but I want everybody to stand to your feet for a moment. This is the way I live. God, I don't want to just settle. Every day, when I remember, I say this, I want every spiritual gift you have for me for today in order to do what you have asked me to do. Every single day. I'm asking God, I want the gift of healing. If somebody comes and says, I'm sick, I want to pray. Like I said last night, 9 out of 10 times people come to me for eyesight issues. If only they know my problem. But anyway, I say, you know what? I'm going to stand on their behalf. I'm going to claim their miracle for them. Whatever gifts you have for me, I want it. So I want us to take 30 seconds or 60 seconds. I want us to raise our hands and say, God, every gift, every spiritual gift that's got my name on it, I want it right now. I want us to align our prayers with God's plans for our lives. We're going to claim them and say, God, every single gift you have for me, I want it. I receive it. Come on, let's lift our voices for a moment. So, Holy Spirit, we stand together right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for an open heaven. Right now, let it rain. Let it rain. Let it rain in this place. Every spiritual gift that you have for every person, if it's got their name on it, I want you to shout out now. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. God, help us to change the world with the gifts that you are giving us right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We receive it. We receive it. And then the last thing I want us to do, we asked, we received. Now we're stepping out. Now we're stepping out. Are you ready to do it? I want you to take a step forward. You're stepping out. God, whatever gifts that you've given me, I'm stepping out with it. Tomorrow morning when you go to work or when you go to school, wherever God has called you to, guess what? If somebody comes and asks you to pray, maybe that's God's way of saying, some of you, you've got a serving gift. Guess best place to start serving? In the church. In the church. Start serving. Some of you, if you've given the gift of teaching, start a life group. Start a life group. You can't all stand up here, but we all need people to help explain what's taught here on a Sunday throughout the week. Do you know where discipleship is done? Not up here. In the home. So if you've got a teaching gift, start a life group. Step out. So Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, fear, we come against it. We come against it. Holy Spirit, I declare an open heaven. In the name of Jesus, you're a good, good Father. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise.